the churches and those that have built on a refuge a lie. And if you build up on a lie, if you build up on the wrong foundation, if you go off something that's not right, when that be washed away, when that wipes away, then what you have to rely on. It comes, I was studied today, comes from the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, and the 14th verse. We'll start it at the 16th verse. It says, 15th verse. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth on him shall not make haste. So he's talking about Jesus Christ there, the true, the cornerstone. Everything has to be upon Jesus Christ. That's why they say he's the foundation. He lays the foundation, because anything that you build has to be on a solid foundation. If you build with, Paul says, if you build with wood, stubble, or hay, or any other thing, that can be tested and tried. The words you speak, what you tell someone, what I'm preaching and teaching, that can be tried. And if you're not on the, don't have the proper foundation, then the whole building collapses. That's why it says you need to dig deep and build upon the rock. Christ is the solid rock. So everything you do, everything in your life has to be based in Jesus Christ. Unless it's in Jesus Christ, it has no stability. We have to be hid in Jesus Christ. Now, Isaiah here was talking about the Jews, the Jewish people, because a lot of people hide in religion and what other people say, and a lot of talking going on. But you need to evaluate, is this person known for telling the truth? Is this person known for being sure of what they're repeating, so they're repeating the truth? But Israel or Judah was making, I tell you, they was drunken. It was a spiritual drunken. It actually was physical, a literal interpretation of, some of them were literally drunk, but figuratively, it was spiritual drunkenness. In other words, all of the information was wrong. They was hypocrites. They would lie. They would go off of things. They was unjust. Justice was not being meted out. When he says that he was going to stir up a spirit of judgment upon them, verse 6 says, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the bow to the gates. In this latter time, there'll be Christians, and like I say, it's going to be just the average people in the streets and things that God's opening up the churches and opening up life to, because when they examine it and see that you don't understand or don't know, then they're saying you're not part of the true church or whatever. So we're seeking and hungering after the truth, and you don't have the truth. So we're going to go elsewhere. We're going to have to find the truth. That's for the true seekers of God, and that's what's going to happen with a lot of churches. The reason they're going to have a lot of loss, and I tell you, the mega churches and things, because people are believing in what people say and what rumor are saying. When you tell me somebody a rumor or something, I say, well, what's the rumor based in? Because if it's based on what somebody else is saying or whatever, if it's not based on the word of God or something out of the scriptures, the Bible says what? Let every man be a liar, but the word of God is the truth. So we've started believing what one another say or what people say. And we've made a covenant. That's what we're bound to, and that's what we stand up. That's what we stand up for. And the reason I stopped, I said, "Well, let me stop. I don't want to argue about these things, because when talking about things, either you know or you don't know. But to argue and strive a servant of God shouldn't do, and you remember I say if the devil don't do anything else, he'll waste your time or whatever. So either you know something or you don't, but it says the prudent will be silent. In other words, sometimes you just let people say what they say or do what they do because you know it's not true, even though they're repeating it, they've made a league with that. You remember I was telling you about the COVID strain or whatever, me and my wife had met somebody at Walmart yesterday at the libraries and Walmarts and places, they've taken the mandates down. You don't have to wear a mask or whatever. So we were there and some people didn't have, they had, some people had masks or whatever, and I was telling them, and my wife didn't have her mask on. I didn't have my mask on. The majority of people didn't have, but those with masks were talking about you could catch that COVID or whatever. Okay, everybody knows about that. That's a year or two old. But it's something old in that you shouldn't have to worry about that. God hadn't given you a spirit of fear or worry, and those that do catch COVID now, whatever, is due to their neglect of the neglect of God or the neglect of man. Now, if it's the neglect of man, it's because you may be given to rumor and given to, you know, she was saying people heart failing them and this and that. I'm not going to get that shot. I'm not going to get this or whatever. Okay, if that's the way you want to live, all right, but people are not going to be put on edge when these things come up on you. Just like in the church, as we preaching and teaching people the word of God, and there something comes into their lives or whatever. No, we're not happy that happened and we know it's going on or whatever, but that's why we're preaching the word of God and everything, because you need to be saved. There'll be a lot of people die, a lot of people get hurt, or things happen in life. But Jesus Christ have came and died, so you don't have to worry about dying, that you do have eternal life. That you'll live, if you only fall asleep or whatever, but that you can live your life and fulfill the purposes of God. So it's no reason to go around in fear or promote different things. Like she was talking about the heart failure. Well, I didn't want to get into the statistics and things what she was saying and about the things she was saying about COVID. But all of it was wrong. It wasn't factually true. It was just a person that's in ignorance or that don't understand something. So why waste time with that? And that's what I tell you religiously. Don't waste time with people that's preaching or that you see that God had given you the truth. If you've been in this, especially in this church or any other church, if you've been in that church 5 or 6 years or whatever, you should be spiritually strong enough not just to go with any wind of doctrine or what just somebody say in church or somebody you meet say or whatever. You should be growing spiritually strong where you're not able to eat strong meat, that you would be able to eat it sometime. In other words, you should be able to refute some things people say and not go along with that. You remember I told you a lot of times I meet a lot of Christians or people and they say, well, they're praying about this or they're doing this and that there. And I question them because I question their spirituality of their Christianity because that's the spirit of judgment that he says that's going to be at the gate. You have to examine people because there are more false Christians out there than there are true Christians. You remember, it's a mighty little flock. It's a very few people that know the truth. Some people that are in churches and places are hiding behind good works. They do a lot of good works, and they're depending on those works or the helping or caring about people and all those things. All of those things are fine and dandy, but they don't mount to a hill of beans if you're depending on your good works getting you in heaven. You don't have a relationship or a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Those that came to him depending on good works, notice that he told them he never knew them. He didn't waste his time and sit down and refute them and say, well, no, you didn't do this. Or, okay, you did this or explain that. He didn't deny that they had did good works for the church, in the church. He didn't deny that they hadn't fed the needy. But they hadn't did what Mary did that Martha didn't do. Martha was cumbered about with working in a lot of business and sitting there instead of sitting there listening and receiving the good thing. that was hearing the word of God. When you hear it, you have to make an analysis of it. You have to assimilate it into your body. And once that truth gets in you, it starts to be light. As the opening scripture you read yesterday from the book of Daniel, that light should grow brighter and brighter. And as you walk in the truth and hear sound doctrine, you should be able to be getting stronger and stronger. If you've been in the church 5 or 6 years under good, strong teaching, there's no reason you should be spiritually weak. You should be able to stand, and you should be growing stronger. But if you're letting people pull the wool over your eyes, if you're being deceived, I'm not saying that you won't be a Christian, but there are those weak Christians, carnal Christians, what Paul called them in the Corinthian church, that had failed to grow, and they could only take the milk of the word. Because, you know, as you go along, you don't want people wasting your time with vain things or vain talking or things that are not true or that they hadn't vetted. And you hear about people vetting for a political position or whatever. Before you put that person in office, it's vetting. When the churches, you should examine people before you put them in certain office to see do they qualify for that office or whatever. It's the same thing when people come up to you, and that's why Jesus said, now beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. You have to examine what a man's saying to you, because the power of life and death is in those words. And so good works can't get you, and that's a refuge of lies about works. And a lot of churches keep the people busy with this deception, with different things that deceive the people in thinking that they are saved and they are not. Those churches that have hypocrites in them, those that love hypocrisy and are built upon such, will be swept away. Remember, Christ said he'll take care of the hypocrites. It's people that are saying one thing and doing another. Politically, when he said the politicians, the priests, the whole system was corrupt. And I was telling you about our national system here in the United States. A few years back, when Mitch McConnell said that they wouldn't seat or hear a seating of Supreme Court justice in the last year of a president's administration in a lame duck policy or whatever. But just in the following term of the next president that was of his own party, when Donald Trump tried to appoint a justice to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, he only had 4 or 5 months left in office, and it was only 2 or 3 months to the election, but Mitch McConnell rammed through her seat Mary Conner Barrett or whatever her name was. And the people was decrying his hypocrisy, because we are a hypocritical nation. That's why I said the nation has to fall. You can see the hypocrisy, and God deals with hypocrisy. Political hypocrisy is going on, and we see that in the churches, that the preachers and the people, and that's why I was telling you God fighting against the church, because they're a bunch of hypocrites. And that's what they were convinced of, and that's what God calls them throughout Isaiah and other places, a hypocritical nation, a hypocritical people. People preach religion, people teach religion. They say one thing, and that's what he says. Listen at what the Pharisees say, but don't do as they do. They were preaching things that was the word of God, in the word of God, but by not being under the Spirit of God or being born again, their actions betrayed what they were doing, that it was a refuge of lies that their lives was building on. They were living a lie. That's the thing about it, if you're living a lie. That's why you have to be a what? A doer of God's word, not just a hearer. See, because a lot of people, you give the people the wrong indication. If you're going to church or whatever, well, you hypocrite, because you portraying yourself as one thing and doing another. That's why I say, if you bunch the group of believers that you're among, hopefully you believing what they're saying, of believing that doctrine or whatever, because sometimes you get out and say, well, no, I don't believe all that stuff and I don't believe this. Well, maybe you need to find another church home or whatever, because you judged according to your belief and you don't want to be a hypocrite. You don't want to be in one place camouflaging in something else. And he knew Judas was a devil. He knew he was a hypocrite. He said, I knew that when I chose you. But all the time, Judas had everybody, they didn't know he was the one that was going to betray Jesus. So he was a wolf in sheep's clothing the whole time. They never knew this. And that's what we have in the church. And God says he's going to sweep away the refuge of lies, because these people have a covenant with death. In other words, they're not going to change. They're preaching and teaching that God's going to do this, God's going to say this, and he's going to act this way, when it's not true, because what you're basing that on is a false teacher, a false preacher, someone that then told you a lie. What did Eve base her rebellion against God on? That you don't really believe God, do you, that thou shalt surely die? Well, that lie is perpetrated consistently now, because there are preachers and there are people still preaching that you go to heaven when you die. The Bible clearly shows you that you die. The soul that sinned it died, that the spirit goeth back to him who gave it, but that you dead, that you're sleeping in Christ. That's why he says you're asleep in Christ. He didn't say you're conscious with me living in heaven, but they're sleeping in Christ. They're resting. They're not, when he transformed life and death and give us eternal life, no, they'll never die, but they are asleep. Now, if we preach against slothfulness and sleep in church, why would he say Lazarus is sleeping? Why would he say those that sleep will be awakened or resurrected to life when he comes back? Because they are in, further in this book, he says, come unto me and rest. Well, that rest or that sleep he gives is to his saints that pass during that time, but consciousness is gone. But you'll hear people, oh, he's looking down on heaven, in heaven up on us now. My mom is in heaven looking down. Don't lie to these people. You're not understanding. You're not preaching correct doctrine. You just want to stand up there and preach Santa Claus and Easter Bunny. It's not true doctrine. It's a refuge of lies. Even Stephen the deacon, when he was preaching to the people that before they stoned him, he says, David is dead and in his sepulchre. The book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says that a living lion, a living dog, is better than a dead soul, because the dead know nothing. The dead know nothing. But we're doing doctrine or making our assurances wrong. It's a refuge of lies, and the church is consistent building this up on this refuge of lies. But Paul says in the book of Corinthians that he's the wise master builder, and that every man should watch how he builds. If you build with wood, stubble, and hay, there's a time that's going to come and try that. It's going to be a fiery judgment that comes to try those things that you've built with. If you've been building with wood, stubble, and hay, that shall be burned. You, the individual, will be saved, but none of his works he can take with it, because you wasn't working for Christ, laying up any treasure in heaven. You're going to be rewarded for the deeds done in the body. So he saved you. You were born again, but you were mistaught, or you mislearned, or you didn't work. You were like the five foolish, so you didn't lay up treasure in heaven. Because of your lack of seeking and understanding and get the proper assurances from God. Those whose security or assurance of salvation are in anything other than Christ Jesus himself will be tossed to and fro, unstable to find a secure refuge. So you can't have false security. Some people think, well, I've been baptized and Well, baptism doesn't save you. I went to Walmart the other day or whatever, and the woman was talking about she was going to have a mask. Well, that mask can't save you. I've been inoculated against COVID, but that can't save me. All those things will work to help prevent you from catching it or having it. But it's Jesus Christ who saves you, because you can end up getting COVID and he could bring you through COVID. He could end up not allowing it to come on some that don't have a mask and hadn't been inoculated with it. It's a lot of people that didn't wear a mask and didn't get COVID. So everything has to be in God. Your true trust in your total life has to look into the sovereignty of God, that nothing happens unto you unless God allows that to happen. You don't go around tempting God or whatever. So most Christians, most people that really believe in God would see, well, no, the most viable and the most sensible route would be to take the shot, to take the inoculation, because you're not tempting God, you're not tempting faith. To tempt God would be like the rattlesnake handlers or the people that handle poison. The scriptures say we'll handle serpents, or we could drink of any poison thing. No, I wouldn't advise you to drink poison. I wouldn't advise you to pick up rattlesnakes and things. That's tempting God. But God can bring you through a pandemic. God can bring you through poverty situations. God will take care of you. But I advise you, God also says you are infidel if you don't work to take care of your own home. So you can't just leave that and say, well, like the sluggard say, there's a line. I say, it's a lot of reasons you don't go to work, but you should be working. But we know God will take care of us, but I think you're misinterpreting the scriptures. You have a false concept of God. Those that have a false concept of God, that are in the wrong churches or whatever, that preach the wrong concepts or precepts of God or whatever, who misunderstood God. Well, it's not God who had deceived you. It was your interpretation or your understanding of God that had fooled you, or that had deceived you. See, Eve could use the line that the serpent deceived her. She said that he had deceived her or whatever. Why? Because Adam had told her what God had said. Adam had told her. So, in other words, what Adam have to look at is that God had made him the leader and put him in charge and gave him that authority. No way he shouldn't have listened to his wife. That's why I tell a lot of men, is Christ your head? Is Christ telling you what to do? Because you listen at your wife. You call home and you talk to your wife and you tell, and she tell you something. Just like Delilah told Samson something. Well, after you done told me something two or three times and it's not right and it's the wrong information, I'm going to start questioning what you tell me. I'm a fool if I don't start questioning what you're saying. If you didn't put me out here and I didn't repeat this thing two or three times and it wasn't right, well, I'm going to start have to verify what you said. So she evidently didn't believe Adam. The serpent more or less persuaded her, right? To trick her into saying, you shall not surely die, if she trusted and believed Adam. Whereas Adam, the book of 1 Timothy says, the man wasn't deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. Eve was deceived. He was the transgressor. That's why the punishment came to Adam. That's why Christ should be our head. That's why a man can't blame his wife for these things. Because as a man, you should be the leader. As a leader of the church, as the pastors is saying things of the elders of the church lead the church, and that was telling you about those that erred during the Trump administration and went along with this Farwell guy, but it was one elder on the board at Liberty University, and he resigned because the rest of them went against it. But that was the best thing to do. At least you wasn't with the majority being wrong. You stood for the truth. there are a lot of people failed during the Trump administration because they wasn't swept away with a refuge of lies. That they stood for the truth. They may have made sacrifices, but the refuge of lies to be swept away. Sooner or later, Fox and the other people started denying it about this thing with Dominion and all that. The votes was being changed. They rioted and tore down democracy on January the 6th, believing the lie that Trump had won the election. But people are prone or inclined to believe a lie rather than the truth. And a lot of us are too lazy to find out. With the Word of God, it's clearly before us, but a lot of us don't research the Word of God or study the Word of God. We would rather sit there and watch TV or listen to some other man teach or preach it to you instead of being a good Berean. Go back and research it and study it for yourself. Whether those things be so or not. Study the scriptures. So your assurance is wiped away, that false assurance, because it wasn't in Jesus Christ. It's what someone else said about Jesus Christ. That's why I keep telling you, if you actually believe and have faith, it's not in me or my words. It's in the words that I speak, the scriptural words, in the interpretation of it. That's why I say, you need to know God for yourself. He needs to be able to get revelations from Jesus Christ or whatever. And I'm only confirming what the Word of God says. And if it's the seed of deception in there, if it's not right, it should, the Spirit should tell you that He's going to give you a certain discernment of spirit. You're not going to be led wrong. He says it's impossible for the very elect to be deceived. If your heart's with God or whatever, people are not going to be able to deceive you as easy as talking about it. It says it's impossible to deceive the elect. Many who have trusted in false doctrines, those foundations shall be removed. All of these preachers and teachers and people out there, you don't have to argue with them or whatever, but you have to really know what you believe in. Know who you have trusted. Because sooner or later, it's going to come a time where that's going to be tested. And it's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you your place in eternity. Whether you spend an eternal life with God or whether you be as though you never were, that God will wipe you out. Titus says about sound doctrine, and I told you, false doctrine. God's going to come up against these false doctrine and false teachers and things. People that talk about me or say whatever they say, I'm just making sure that I'm on sound doctrine in what I'm saying. Now, you can say he got no better. He's talking against Easter and Christmas. Right? Go ahead and celebrate and do all those things. And you may not die in hell before that or whatever. It's in God's favor, but I know what the Bible preaches or teaches. That's why Paul said we are fools for Christ's sake. We don't live to please men because by me closing my eyes to truth that God has shown me, it blinds me in other areas and it quenches or grieves the spirit in me, and it not allows me to receive any more light or revelation from God because I'm believing a lie. I couldn't sit down and honestly sit with my children or grandchildren or no one else and talk about Merry Christmas and this and that and Santa Claus because I don't actually believe in it. I think it's a lie. And I think it removes you from reality of what's true. I think Easter does the same thing. I think all of these things does. And I think one day we'll see that this was false doctrine. It's being forged, a refuge of lies that the people hide within to have a day of celebration, a day of doing these or whatever. But it's a refuge of lies. That we won't have Christmas and Easter and thing because it's not part of the Word of God. Now, if it's a part of the Word of God, it says heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God shall be remain. Now, we'll see whether we be celebrating Christmas and Easter in the next life. Titus says 2:1, but speak those things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men may be sober, grave and temperate, sound in faith, in charity and in patience. So He tells us what we need to do is speak those things, become sound doctrine. That's why a lot of times, you notice a lot of people say, well, this person said, I don't know. Because without clarity, you shouldn't repeat something that you don't know, or that you don't understand, or that you're not sure about, because now you're promoting gossip, a tail brain of false witness, because now we didn't got all up in arms about this, and this is not even the truth. That's why a preacher, it's not many, it says, be not many preachers and teachers or whatever, because the power of life and death is in those words and things, and you cause a lot of things to happen of people basing their lives upon it, and you've led them astray. Foundations will be shaken. The book of Psalms 11, chapter the 1st through the 10th verse. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. He tried the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. His spirit, God really hates these. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. This is what's going to be in the cup that they are drinking. That's what they drunk of. That's the doctrine they partake of. Well, what happens when that foundation is shaken or destroyed? What happens? They'll be destroyed also, because you take part in what's a portion of that cup. But those that are built upon the true foundation of Jesus Christ, it shall never be moved. You can't shake that foundation. It's upon Jesus Christ. He's a solid rock. But Paul said there's another gospel. There's another Jesus. There's a false Jesus. There's a Jesus that the people are preaching to. One day God's going to wash him away. That's the Antichrist. And Paul said there'd be many antichrists. John says be many antichrists. Jesus says be many antichrists. So many antichrists was doing his time. That is preaching an anti-God doctrine. Men in the spirit that's preaching lies and deception, because anytime you twist the word of God, add to the word of God, take away from the word of God, then it's a lie. And that's a curse upon those people. It's a curse upon him. He told Timothy to endure sound doctrine. People won't endure sound doctrine. We see that. During this pandemic, like I say, it had to be from God, because it says as his eyes test and try people, the temptation is there. And these last 4 years, and in the last year of Trump's administration, this thing worked out. It brought a lot of light to my understanding about doctrine and people in the church and false doctrine and false brethren. It illuminated much more to me than I've ever been illuminated before. 2 Timothy, 2 chapter 3 through 4. He says, preach the word. I might have that chapter wrong. I think that should be 4th chapter. I think that should be 4th chapter. I might have transposed that number. He says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In other words, with proper instructions. You get on them, you have to chew them out, you have to praise them, you have to lift them up. Whatever it calls for, with longsuffering, going through these things, Timothy, you have to do these things. And that's what a lot of mega churches don't do. A lot of Christians go along with everything other Christians say to them and what people are saying. And so they say, hold on, this don't sound right. This ain't right because you're a pacifist. You're naive. In other words, you're like a garbage can, like some sort of vessel that anybody can pour anything into. You have to be a vessel where anybody just can't pour their garbage or trash into you. You can't let people come to your house with all kinds of gossip and tale-bearing. You can't let people be able to dump their idleness or their doctrine of things, just dump it in your yard, dump it on you. Or you'll constantly stay busy fighting a refuge, a flood of lies, because that's what the people run to. That's what they hide in. But your refuge is in Jesus Christ, and that means you're sanctified. You have to, it has to be washed through the Word of God. It has to run, every thought has to be brought into the captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let you start having me think along those lines. I'm not going to have you have me looking at those things, because it's too many things I could be thinking about and worrying about that really would get me all going. But how many of us now? No, you're not no longer. Most people are no longer worried with COVID or whatever. People tell people have COVID or something nowadays. It's then become another natural thing, right? Because that's in the mirror. The stores and things taking it down or whatever. But did you know, like they say, when the states stop reporting it or whatever, it is just as rampant as ever? Because God says he was going to send that strong delusion to where the people would believe lies. So when the Trump administration and Trump start talking about not wearing masks, well, where are we, I do away with this. Well, he aligned those that don't love the truth to believe lies, because if you love the truth, you would fight and stand up for the truth and be steadfast and immovable, and you wouldn't let people repeat lies to you or spew lies to you, give you false information on. You'll say, well, look, man, why you told me this or whatever? This ain't what it way it was or whatever. That person, if you start doing that, people will think before they just tell you anything. They'll be careful what they at least say to you. They might say it to anybody else, but they'll say, well, he's an easy target. He'll believe anything you say. There are some people who believe anything people say. You don't want to be one of those. He says, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And if you one of that group that follow that or follow that, you're going to start listening at what's wrong. And that's why I tell you, these people that's telling me about this and that, okay, do you have any factual proof of this? And like they tell you about a lot of the other people, and now that they set it up in a spiritual or political way, they be asking, what planet are you from? What world are you living in? This is not based in fact. So they say, oh, it's faith. You have to have faith and you have to have belief. But this is a false faith. This is false doctrine. See, because faith has to have a hypostasis. It has to have a something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what's giving it substance of the evidence of things unseen? What's the underlying structure to your faith? That's why Jude came back and said, I'm going to teach. He said he was writing to them about salvation, but something told him the right to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Because there's a false faith. There's a faith out there that wasn't delivered to the saints. And ever increasing faith or whatever. Yeah, but it's a faith in a lot of foolishness now. It's not a faith in sound doctrine. It's not in the Word of God. God has a way. God is structure. God brings structure out of chaos. He don't bring more chaos and division and confusion. He brings unity to the body of Christ. The true worship of God will prevail of those who worship him in spirit and in truth. All false worship will be destroyed. So you may have a big church or whatever, but that may not be where they worship God at. Though the true worshipers of God are those who worship him in spirit and truth. So it's not necessarily just in a church house, because the woman says, in Samaria, in Jerusalem, is where we say it will come a time when the true worshipers of God will worship God in spirit and truth. In other words, wherever you are, that's your whole life is a testimony of all day is worship unto God. Everything you do is worship and praise and glorifying unto God. because that's what your meditation is. That's what's motivating everything you do, because you're in Christ. That's what you're building your life on, is in Christ. If it's in vain, if Christ didn't resurrect, and there's no, you're lost, because I'm fully given to that Jesus Christ is who he say he is. His word is what he said is, and I have faith and trust and confidence that he died for men, that he gave me eternal life, and that if I walk in him and walk as he walked, that I'll be raised and resurrected in his image and his likeness, and that I already have eternal life. Now, so far as a refuge of lies, you telling me I have to do this and I do that, and Christ is over here and Christ is over there. No. Christ is wherever I'm at, because he's in me. He says, I'll be in you and I'll dwell with you. So all false preaching shall disappear along with all, with the destruction of the false preachers. The false preaching will be gone. You remember he says he's going to wipe it away like chalk stone or whatever. It's going to be powder. They're going to blow away like chaff, because it's not right. It's not God. It's not what God is. False Christianity and apostasy. Of the strong delusion. In the book of Amos, the 8th chapter of Amos, the 11th through the 14th verse, it says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, when I will send hunger over the land, when I send famine over the land, not a famine or hunger for bread or thirst for water, but rather a hunger for hearing, a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People shall stagger. What is staggering? What, didn't I just come off preaching and teaching on that? A drunk man staggers about, but we're to be sober and vigilant. We're to walk as those that are walking in the light. If we're walking in the light, we should be walking upright. We shouldn't be staggered. It says Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. But these people are staggering and groping in darkness like you don't know where the truth is. The truth is with me, because I'm with Christ and Christ is in me, and I'm in the word of God. And he says, if I continue in his word, then I'm his disciple. So I know whose I am and who I am. I'm a son of God. Because those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I say, oh, the word of Christ over here is Christ over here. No, Christ is right here in his book. He's been available to people all of this time. It's consistently been available. The kingdom of God is among us. It's right here within us. People shall stagger from sea to sea, to the very ends of the earth, and from the north even to the east. They will roam here and there to seek the word of the Lord, longing for its essential life, but they will not find it. Why? They're drunken. They're in darkness. They have an understanding. And it's right here. It's right here nigh thee. You hadn't sought Christ. Christ had chose you from the foundations of the world. So you have the word of God, but you heard someone else, and the cares of this life have choked the word of God out of you till you didn't become unfruitful. That seed that had been sown in you, a lot of them heard the word and then no longer walk with Christ, because why? They were being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and you following this preaching and this teaching, and you didn't endure sound doctrine because you rejected the word of God over here. You wanted to hear it somewhere else or whatever, and now you don't know who to believe or what to believe. You have no rooting in you, not established. It says, in that day the beautiful virgins and even the young men shall faint from thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, Ashman, in other words, by those false gods that swear by this and this religion. You was in Church of God of Christ or Islam, or you was in Presbyterian Church, Episcopalian, or Catholic or whatever. Well, the word of God was there. We look at a complete number of the seven churches of Asia. You heard of the word of God. The grace of God had appeared to all men. But you didn't act upon it when you heard it. You let some bird of the air come and pluck it out of your mouth. Yes. The preacher preached it to you. You heard it. But through deception in lies, some false prophet or some false teacher has persuaded you. Paul says, who had bewitched you, you foolish Galatians, that you would believe another gospel? Because he had preached, they had heard the word of God or whatever, but now they were believing something else, and he didn't meander around with them or whatever about this, that they had been removed. Galatians, the first chapter, it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, neither, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. In other words, it's some preachers and people running around here that they are apostles and they're a bishop and they this. Well, I know you're not an apostle because it wasn't but 12 apostles and it's no more apostles. Apostolic age is gone. And it says, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Pentecostals look at that. So it's able one God and God is Jesus. Okay, well, I don't want to get into a dispute about the Godhead with you because that's a whole nother teaching or whatever. And your doctrine may have caused you the error, but God, that Paul did says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Okay, if he did this to deliver us from this present and evil world, what are we doing still in the world? He told us, love not the world, nor the things of the world. He called us out of the world. He says, come out of the world, be ye separate. Come out of Babylon. Separate yourselves unto me. So are you listening at him, or are you listening to someone else? That's what Paul talking to the Galatians here, and I'm talking to you about the same thing. What had happened here? Why are you not believing Jesus Christ if you started off believing him? Listen at this. He says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They say, I'm marvel. I'm mystified. I'm standing here dazed at this. Who had bewitched you? He says that I marvel you are so soon removed from him that called you, which is Jesus Christ, says, who had called you, Christ had called you, and now you're removed from him, call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel? What do you mean, Paul, another gospel? There was another gospel being preached, and that gospel is still being preached. It's a false gospel, and it's a refuge of life, but they've made a covenant with death in this. This is what these people actually believe in, and they'll fight with it to the death. It's just like the people when Jesus says, not a stone will be left upon a stone. He told his disciples, when you hear of this, you flee, whether it be on the Sabbath or whatever, you get out of here. But there were a lot of Pharisees and people that fought to the death saying that God wasn't going to allow the temple to be destroyed. And God had prophesied it was going to be destroyed. Just like Isaiah prophesying that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. Because he had to destroy his people because his people had rebelled against him. And they didn't allow Jesus. Didn't they throw him out of the temple? When he came in, he showed you and prophesied that what he would do in the end when he cleansed the temple of the money changers and things. But they rejected Jesus Christ. They chose Pilate. They chose Caesar as their leader, as their king. Ananias and Caiaphas and the high priest, they said, crucify Jesus. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so I say now again, If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He says, for I do not persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, should I not please God? Okay, so he goes on here or whatever, and these people, he asked who had bewitched him, who had brought this on to you, that you listening, and how did they twist this that you didn't turn away from Jesus Christ? But it was going on just then, as it was during the time of Amos, as it was during the time of Noah. There were false preachers and false teachers during the time of Noah. But if you notice, he singled Noah out and said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. God always has his preachers of righteousness, but there are deceitful preachers out there that preach lies or whatever, for Satan ministers are transformed into angels of light, but they're not true ministers of God. He says, they shall fall, but they shall not rise. The New Testament contained echoes of a curse found in Amos, of famine, not of the word, but of hearing it. The famine's going to be of hearing the word. You're going to go to many different places, but you're not going to hear the word of God. You'll hear different preachings and false doctrines and different mixtures, but not the saving word of God, the necessary word of God. And because once you reject truth, you can go to churches and not hear the word. God had gave you a dullness of hearing because you rejected or didn't love the truth once you heard it. It was just like the children of Israel after God had told them that they was going to die, and that because they didn't go up with the spies, they went out and tried to fight and go, but it was too late. Time had passed. And that's why the preachers preach to you today as the day of salvation, to stand up. But see, if you're not truly converted and don't know who you believe or what you believe, you always jump from side to side to whatever side's winning or whatever side seems to have the advantage. And you scared to suffer. You scared to stand up against people. You scared to have faith. See, faith is, you can't see faith. Now, you can see faith. If you're spiritual, remember Paul saying that the man had faith to believe? See, there's a faith that you can see by someone's works. But that's tricky. That's why I say we have to continue in the word of God, because this is not for the casual passerby, because a lot of people hear the preacher say one thing and they take that one thing out of that context. He might have said that here, but what he's saying over here is different. It's a paradoxical statement. In other words, it seems like it contradicts what he's saying over there. As I told you in the book of Proverbs, when he says, follow not a fool in his folly, or answer not a fool in his folly. But two or three scriptures later, it says, answer a fool according to his folly. That's the difference in growing spiritually, is you have to know when to do what. And the only way you can know that is to be led by the Spirit of God. You're no longer doing that. It's the Spirit of God that is leading you these ways, because you've studied the word of God and you've been preparing, and it's not you just doing it, it's Christ in you. Because Paul says, that I do, I don't want to do, and that I don't do, that I do. In other words, you have to start allowing Christ to work it in you, because it's in him, in you, his spirit's in you, both to work, to will and to do. That's why I say you have to have the word of God so embedded in you that it is actually driving you to works. That's the faith that's driving you, that you believe the word is leading and guiding you into these things. That's what led Elijah to pray the fervent prayer he prayed, that it rained not for 3 years. He prayed it with fervency, and the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man work it much. That's why I say you have to believe God. As you get believing God and walking in Christ, you get so filled with the Spirit, sometimes you have to just kind of sell yourself down, or you'll fool around there and get ahead of yourself. Jeremiah said it was like firing your bones. You have to learn that the spirit of the prophet is subject unto the prophet. In other words, you have to learn to manage this. As I just said, the word of God, you have to be, it says, teaching sound doctrine, but speak those things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, and temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Because if you notice, older people, people that's more mature, that's more experienced, know when to act in what way and what to say at what time and what to do, because they old. They experienced that. They didn't repeat it, this thing. They didn't learn that they're temperate. And that's what God takes us through, a process of humbling, of trying and testing. That's what he did with them in the wilderness. It's a process that takes time. That's why he says, take my yoke upon me, upon you, and learn of me. So don't think you could come to church in 1 week and you could turn over the world. That's why it says don't make a novice your pastor, your minister, whatever. He's just not beginning. He's still green behind the head. It's a lot he hadn't seen. But it's a lot we didn't see. We didn't learn to just sit there and allow God to work here. Whereas sometimes we get in there and intervene and mix up with God. That's why it says the prudent shall remain silent. Sometimes some things you don't say anything about it because this is going to come against you. Or you learn when to act and when not to act. And sometimes it can cost you a whole lot if it's the Spirit not leading you. If you being led by the flesh. Peter was being led by the flesh and he acted and it cost him dearly. But Jesus had already warned him, Satan had asked to sift you as wheat. Because Peter was an impulsive man. He wasn't patient. He wasn't temperate. He wasn't grave. Romans 1:18-32 tells us unrighteous men who suppress the truth. And that's what I say. You can see the suppression in the truth of the truth in this nation religiously and politically now. The repression of the truth, what's actually truth, is being repressed. We see injustices in the nation. We see oppression in the nation. Because they are not thankful for what the creation reveals of the Creator, their foolish hearts became darkened. They lost what light, what truth they had. You can lose the light or truth you have, that you have, if God enlightens you to something, and by not acting upon it, he says, take that talent away from him and give it to the one that had 5 talents or 10 talents. If God had given you a truth, he's given you biblical truth that he wants you to stand upon and act upon. That means you might have to speak it to your spouse or your children or your neighbor or someone else or whatever. But if you sow those seeds, it'll reap the right fruit. But if you go hide that seed, if you go hide those things or those talents he gave unto you, he's going to take those away from you, even that you have. God's response to this is similar to his response to Israel during those days. His response to us nowadays, that he does not contend with them or force his truth upon them. You remember during the times of Noah when he destroyed the world, he says, my spirit will not always strive with man. So he turns man over to a reprobate mind. He started allowing laws that are not good. But God's people know, I don't get entangled in this world's affairs. He tells us not to get entangled in this world's affairs. So let them legalize pot. Let them legalize prostitution. Let them legalize gay marriage. Let them do all these things, because why? The book of Romans says when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, and now they're turned over to a reprobate mind. God allows you to do those things that are inconvenience or that's not good to do. You didn't act upon when he gave it when you knew that was right. Instead, Paul writes, God gave them up to uncleanliness. That's uncleanliness. All those things are uncleanliness, and there's a lot more thing that starts to happen in the nation with an unjust nation. That's why I say it's unraveling. We're not looking at what the scriptures say. That's why it says with fear and trembling work out your own salvation. We're seeing the politicians can't work together anymore. Mm. Because in spirituality, we don't have to compromise and tolerate. We have to know of it, know about it. But to get along in government, you have to be able to compromise and tolerate. You have to know what to do, because the secular world is different from the spiritual world. But here you have spiritual people talking about intervening in the world's affairs, trying to force the Spirit of God. You can't force morality up on people. The law couldn't do this. That's why I said it was weak through the law. If you go break the law, you go break the law. Those that you, God has to give you the spirit to want to obey Him, want to serve Him, want to do that what's right. When you get the love of God in you, when you born again, you will stand up against your baby brother. You will stand up against your grandmother. You will stand up against your sons and daughters. But if you don't have the love of God in you, you will do wrong. It'll be like during the time of Jeremiah. They say, well, the wives say, well, you saying all these preachers and everything. Our husbands knew we was doing this, and they didn't say anything to us. That's how it is. Most women and things doing these things, the men know that they're doing them or whatever, and they're scared to say something because the women have become men. You remember yesterday I said it says they're effeminate. Yeah. He gave them, Romans 21 and 26 says he gave them over to vile passions. He gave them over to a debased mind. Well, you would just go out and shoot and murder up two or three people at a time. They, all over the nation, we didn't have so many mass shootings, you won't know which one you're talking about. And now all the cities and everything, it's so much killing and thing going on or whatever. You hollering, protesting Black Lives Matter or whatever, and the other people are writing, why don't you take care of your neighborhood, because more of y'all killing one another than we are. So how do you go protest police killing when we had over 70 murders in the city this year already? And it's not half over with. It is if God gives them exactly what they seek and they do not realize that this is a curse. You give a child and say, eat as much chocolate cake as you want. That's not a blessing. You don't love that child. That's why Proverbs say if you don't beat him, if you don't chasten or punish your child, you don't really love him. God say he scourges every, he chastens every son he receives. Because if I don't make you eat your vegetables, I don't make you go to sleep at night. If I, that's why I'm a parent, because I know what's best for you. You think you know what's best for you. Well, we have to become as little children. God knows what's best for us, so it's best that we follow his word and obey what he's saying. Instead of you know what's good for yourself, you know you want to pick and choose which one of his commandments you will obey. A second example of this is the principle appears as in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 9 through 12, where Paul warns of a future man of sin who deceives the spiritually weak. I tell you, the deception comes. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness and deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them such a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I'll turn you over to this filth of same-sex marriage. I'll turn you over to drugs and drunkenness and to injustice and oppression that you're allowing from your politicians and the uncleanliness in your churches, the drunkenness of your priests and prophets to where the diviners can't see or whatever. All of this has consumed because you built this thing on a refuge of lies. But God's true people, that small flock, that remnant, they're still fighting and mourning and sighing for what's going on in the nation, for what's going on in the church. but a lot of us are standing up and getting into it with our own brothers and sisters in the church because they're trying to stand, but you letting flesh get in the way that you standing for your mother, for your brothers, for your children, for other people, and they have deceived you to fight against the church. That's what happens. You don't even know whose side you're on because you're carnal. The spiritual aspect of it, Jesus stood out, and when they say your brothers and sisters and your mothers out here, he said, who's my brother, my mother, and my sister? And he kind of gestured behind him to those that do the will of the Father. How you will feel in that day when you come up in the person that you were persecuting? And that's why Paul felt so bad, because those that he was fighting against was the ones really trying to help him and love him, but he was blinded to it and didn't understand it. The wife that you love, the husband that you adored, the children that you worship or whatever, those were your downfalls. But those people that loved you, you thought that you were your enemies and everything. But by not praying for your enemies and loving all men, you couldn't see clearly who God had sent to help you. You had known that God had sent angels unaware. Those who perish do so because they do not receive, in the sense of the welcome, the love of the truth. Because they do not, God will send these strong delusions so that they will believe the lie and be condemned. And he said he's going to choose the delusion. In Isaiah, he says he's going to choose how he chooses to deceive you. Because that's what I say, when you reject the words of Jesus Christ, when you reject what God's blood did for you, reject the work he did for you, it's like a parent, when a child rejects that parent's authority and that parent in his life, and that parent knows that he's done went out of the way, he's done sacrificed things, he's done given up a way of life for your likelihood or whatever, so be it. Ephraim is joined to his idols, let him alone. Parents not going to throw away his life for you in wrongness. That's why God says he's a drunkard and rebellious. Drag him to the gates and he just wants to be stoned to death. So instead of that mother standing up to those children because they hadn't instilled it into them, because they hadn't stood for the truth and hadn't practiced it in their home, when your child does something, don't send him away. Call the police. You didn't kill 2 or 3 people. I can't be a part of that. I would have their blood on my hands. When people come to you and say, help me, help me, I can help you all right enough. I can tell you, I can lead you to help. Because you have blood on your hands. I can't put blood on my hands helping you. Because I know the consequences of those things. That's a refuge of lies if you think that blood is thicker than water and I'm going to help you. No, you're principled to first degree murder now, what you've done. So that's why I say, don't think pastor love me more than this one. No, pastor will be impartial on these things. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And that's where Adam should have, he should have said, my grandchildren and generations after this will suffer because of you, Eve. You shouldn't have eaten of that tree. Now you're trying to get me messed up by eating of the tree. And we'll let God deal with this when he comes. I'm not going to be a part of that refuge of the lie. That from the father of lies, you fell in league with Satan. That God didn't mean what he said, that you shall not surely die. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God,